pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for a Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always, to start the show today. Brand new breaking news, it broke last night, but the press conference just finished. A new president for the Montreal Impact, Dwayne, Joey Saputo, is stepping aside and is giving the president's job to Kevin Gilmore, former chief operating officer and executive VP of the Montreal Canadiens. He worked with AEG back in the early 90s, which is Anschutz Entertainment Group, the owner and partner of Walt Disney for the Mighty Ducks and Anaheim in hockey. So there's a new president in Montreal.
Yeah, well, and AEG has obviously had a big involvement in MLS in the early days too.
They owned six clubs at one point, but yeah.
So this is a guy that probably was very familiar with MLS and obviously very connected in the Montreal sports business field. And that's, to me, there's a couple very interesting points here. And we were talking a bit off air about it, and you can touch on a little bit. You all were able to watch the press conference. The big news for me is that Joey is taking a step aside. For years, he has been notorious, and he has, in fairness, been moving that direction for a while. But back in the early days, Joey Saputo was synonymous, just like Bobby Lanarduzzi was synonymous with the Whitecaps. Joey Saputo was synonymous with the Impact. And in both cases, there was some people that felt that they needed to remove themselves a little bit. And at least in Bobby's case, he was a guy that had the professional chops, right? That he had played professional soccer and so on and so forth, whereas Joey was just a businessman. Not that just is a big thing. He basically saved soccer in Montreal. But
and he's been owner for 25 years. Don't forget, he's been the owner of soccer in Montreal since 1993.
Yeah, precisely. No one is dismissing his contribution to the game. But, you know, most good business people understand that they need to hire professionals and people that are very good at their job to do their job. And this to me seems like just an indication that Joey wants to take a step back. And as I said to you just before we went on air, that's really probably not a bad thing at this point in time. And again, thank you, Joey, for saving soccer in Montreal.
I think it has to be said, thank you, Joey, for saving soccer in Montreal 25 years ago. And a few times along that journey, he saved it. And even up to this day, he still pays every year to make sure that the losses of the Montreal Impact do not affect the day-to-day operation. But this is what happened today. Joey Saputo steps away from the day-to-day operations of the Montreal Impact, giving his nice 1960 red Corvette to Kevin Gilmore, the wheel at least, for him to bring this club to a new vision, bring this club to a higher level. One thing I was comparing this to off air, Dwayne, is example. You start a very successful restaurant. It's a one restaurant that you start, that you build from the ground up. You build the marketing. You build everything. You hired everyone. You know everyone who worked there. But then you open a second restaurant under the same banner. And then a third one. And then a fourth one. Eventually, that beast is getting big. And you need someone who is used to dealing with big beasts and that can bring that beast even to a bigger level. I think this is a good parallel we can make with Joey Saputo's decision and Kevin Gilmore. We'll touch a bit on Kevin Gilmore now and how it started. I'm not sure there was a lot of candidate interviewed for this. Joey Saputo answered a question like, I don't want to go into the details of the process of who I talked to, but it started with a roundtable consultation with Kevin Gilmore's former company, Four Sport Consulting, which he founded when he left the Montreal Canadiens last year too. He literally left the Canadiens to start this venture, but then he was convinced to take over the president of the Montreal Impact. They worked together with SNC-Lavalin, with Deloitte, and with Kevin Gilmore's company, a round table to bring the club to a higher level. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if coming out of that table, one of the things that he mentioned to Joey Saputo is, You might need someone to give you a hand with the president's job to bring the vision of this club up to where the league is going. And I have a feeling during those discussions, the work relationship developed between Kevin Gilmore and Joey Saputo made a bell ring in Joey Saputo's mind. And then he was like, well, that guy, I like the way he talks. I like the way he views my club. I like the way he views our city, his knowledge in the world of sports. And I think he's a candidate. And then probably negotiations. And then he was convinced and lead up to today where the announcement was made. But I think that's exactly the reason this move was made. For Joey Saputo to focus either on Bologna or... He didn't mention Bologna. He mentioned that he did not have as much time now as he did a few years ago to give it solely to the impact and to be able to bring the energy and the level of implication that a president needs to the impact. He didn't have that anymore. Is it because of Bologna? Is it because of other business ventures? It wasn't mentioned, but it was mentioned that he does have a more compact schedule now. And this, all those little details together mixed with Kevin Gilmore, new president.
Kevin, to play off some of your analogies a little bit earlier and sort of draw, you know, a comparison to what might be happening here with the impact. I remember I had friends that went to McGill University in the 90s, early 90s, and we used to go out for breakfast after a night out. And there was this funky little breakfast place that was run by this little lady. And we always thought this was an amazing place. And it kind of, I think, grew. And there was a couple of locations in Montreal, but we didn't hear much about it. And then about 10 years later, it really boomed up.
A little old lady called Cora, I imagine.
Yeah, it's precisely what I'm thinking right now, that we used to go to this place in the early days. And I think that the Impact are going through their Cora franchising stage, so to speak. Cora's is a breakfast place that is coast to coast now in Canada, and most people know it, and it's a very successful business story, actually.
And overrated, but yeah, no, I worked there for a while. But no, I agree. And for me, that's what I was thinking. And, you know, there's a lot of quotes that Kevin Gilmore mentioned that we're going to get to in a few minutes, but I thought it was a good analogy, and that's needed. We've talked about this before, how if we didn't use the analogy of maybe they need a new president. What we were saying is, look, Joey, surround yourself with people with better experience. Surround yourself with people that are there for the good reason. And as we love Joey Saputo for the good and for the bad things, but he's very loyal to certain people. And to his detriment over the years, just go back to Nick DeSantis days, and he's still there behind the scenes, we know. But what I mean is he was loyal to a fault to people that he trusts. And if you want to bring a club to a higher level, if you want to make the Montreal Impact one of the top five club in Major League Soccer in North America, eventually expansion of Stade Saputo, the bigger footprint in the market, all those little things, you need a detachment from emotions when you take decision and when you establish a vision, when you establish a course, a direction. And when you have emotions and relationship with people go into the way of establishing that vision, it's never a good relationship going forward. So removing himself from the day-to-day operations, making sure that Kevin Gilmore is aware of the vision of Joey Saputo wants to accomplish with this club, and one of those visions is profitability in 3 years. He mentioned 2 years ago that he wanted to be profitable in 5 years, so there's 3 years left in that plan, and that still is ongoing, as he mentioned during the press conference for Joey Saputo. But now Kevin Gilmore does not have that emotional attachment to either certain staff, certain employees, or certain mistake that he did in the past that he doesn't want necessarily to recreate. And it brings a new level of energy, a new level of mentality and experience for 25 plus years in the world of North American sports for Kevin Gilmore. Different sports, different level. He's on the board of the Olympic Committee in Canada. He's on the board of the CWHL in Canada. And he's one of the persons implicated into the Montreal Baseball Project to bring the Montreal Expos back to Montreal. And he mentioned he still supports that project, but he's 100% focused on bringing the Impact at a higher level. And for me, that's the most important thing here, Dwayne. He mentioned Montreal is a big market. We need to stop acting like we're not a big market. People perceive us as a small market because we let them do so, because we react ourselves as a small market. Let's start acting in every facet of a football club, from the front office to the players, to the team, to the social media, to the marketing. We are a big market club. Sports is really important for Montrealer, and he did mention that. And he mentioned as well that we're going to bring this club to the fans where they lived, on the platform they live. So expect in the next few months a bigger presence on social media, on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitch, on Facebook. Everywhere where they can, I believe the Montreal Impact will start acting like a big market club and not just like a club. And I think that's a big statement from the new president of the Montreal Impact.
Well, you keep saying Montreal, too. I think that one place that I don't think the Impact have ever fully leveraged is that they're not just Montreal's team. They're French Canada's team, right? They're French-speaking people's teams. And I don't know if they've ever completely leveraged that. We've talked a lot about that in terms of recruiting and things like that. But from a business perspective, are they really leveraging the Quebec market as much as they can? Or are they viewing themselves as a tiny little local club? And that's kind of what I've always viewed the Impact as, is they almost ran like, they certainly ran like, they seemed like a youth club that got big. And they never fully embraced the full professional business structures that are needed to totally do what the Habs do, right? The Habs are undoubtedly the team of Quebec.
You know, I think it starts from yourself. Because of the history of this club from the ground up, from 1993 all the way to Major League Soccer, it was bigger than the rest of where it was playing, right? Remember when Montreal was in the NASL, it was one of the big clubs in the NASL, and they kind of had an idea how to run a club, how to run everything. And those ideas just stayed in. And it takes a lot of humility to realize that you're not the man for the job anymore. And it's basically what Joey Saputo realized. Like, you know what? I've done what I could with this club. I've used strategies and I've used what I know usually works in my field of work, in my domain. And it never paid off to a point where profitability. It paid off for great moments, for Champions League. It paid off for Didier Drogba, Marco Navajo. Like, it paid off a lot. But those things never translated into more season tickets holder. And right now, Kevin Gilmore mentioned today, Montreal is below the average of the league for season tickets. And that is shameful, he mentioned. And he wants to focus on making sure that every partner, from TVA Sports to the written partners to anywhere, that they convey the ambiance, the atmosphere that Stade Saputo brings, to make sure that people are aware that coming to Stade Saputo is an experience, and they're going to make sure that they improve the experience on a day-to-day aspect at Stade Saputo for the fans. Yeah, no, exactly. More bathrooms and more bars at Stade Saputo. Hashtag.
It's a great little stadium, but in terms of sight lines and that, but there's a lot of problems need to be fixed. That's exactly what I was thinking. I suspect that he will maximize the revenues out of that stadium, which will include improving that flow through the people, getting more concessions, getting more bathrooms.
And, you know, he mentioned a good example there, too. He was part of AEG, the Entrance Entertainment Group, like we're mentioning, in 91 to 93, when the Mighty Ducks appeared in the North American sports landscape in the National Hockey League. And he was responsible with the Mighty Ducks as well for the experience in the arena. And the Mighty Ducks were, of course, they had the popularity of the hockey film by Disney, and they used the same name, and they brought a bunch of fans to the arena, but they were able to keep those fans in the arena. Go back to the early 90s, of course, you had Gretzky with LA that brought a lot of popularity to the sports of hockey in Southern California. But then you had the coming of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and you had the coming of the great experience of the Mighty Ducks game, the mascot coming down from the ceiling, skating, shooting t-shirts in the fans, arcades, great food, a lot of entertainment inside the arena in the breaks, commercial breaks, between periods. A lot of small little things that all adds up for the customer experience was what, like, the experience was going through the roof. I would say the joy of that experience of being a hockey fan in the early 90s. And he made a parallel to, I want to make sure that we have that. What we already have at Stade Saputo is unique, and we have to make sure that people are aware. And then he made a funny joke. He's like, people do watch soccer on TV sometimes, but some people don't. Some people just watch their kids play soccer. And then he made a funny movement that, if you're watching me on TV right now on YouTube or on Twitter, If you're watching your kids play soccer like this all together, and I'm going to try to convey my my motion here, Timbits soccer, where everyone is running around the ball. Like, if this is what your idea of soccer, well, we need to make sure that they know that coming to Tatsuputo, you'll have high-level soccer, and you'll have high-level professional sports in front of you, and you'll get something out of it. So a lot of great quotes by Kevin Gilmore.
No, for sure. And look, there are the intimacy of Saputo is something that they need to convey. It is really a wonderful place to watch the game. You are so close. I was listening to the Minnesota interview talking about how close they were to the pitch. We were talking about that last Friday, and
Saputo,
my mind
even closer.
Actually went to Saputo. That sounds exactly like Saputo. You could practically touch the net from the supporter section.
I'm like, on the press box, you feel you're almost on the field. And you know what always surprises me with Saputo, Dwayne? It's as big as the Bell Center. It's actually bigger by like 30 seats. Well, it was bigger. Now they're going to be like 1,000 seats taken out for certain improvement. But still, it's like it's as big as the Bell Center. It's as big as where the Montreal Canadiens play. The biggest franchise, one of the biggest franchise in hockey history. And it's just down the road, and it's almost as big. And no, you're right. Stade Saputo is an amazing little stadium itself. The surrounding areas, the facilities of the stadium needs to be improved, from bathrooms to more concession stands to maybe more permanent structure under the seats for more restaurants too. And so those needs to be upgraded, improved.
Yeah.
But like the press box facilities are all like one of the best in the league, and there's a lot of things that Montreal Stadium has that a lot of stadium wish they had. Like, I went to Crew Stadium before. I went to Bridgeview, Toyota Stadium before. I've been to a few stadiums in the league. And Stade Saputo has a different feel. It doesn't feel as big. It feels smaller for the amount of seats. I agree. But I think it's a positive because of that roof, because of the sidelines, and then you have the Olympic Stadium right there. There's a lot of potential with that stadium. And eventually, I always had the vision of adding a second tier, making this from a 20 to 35 foot stadium, 1,000 stadium, and then more. And I think that's what Kevin Gilmore is going to bring too. He's like, we have to continue to view this club as in growth mode, and we have to focus on growing this club from the supporters to the corporate partners to the amount of people watching us on a day-to-day, on the news, to people watching us on the telly, on their phone, on wherever they live on the platform, and making sure that they are willing to support us by becoming season ticket members and then be able to do even more. So no, I think it's a very positive day for the Montreal Impact going forward.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm thinking BMO right now. BMO's 13 years old. 13 years, they don't look like the same stadium, right? And
BMO has gone through two major renovations. And, you know, Stade Saputo went through one in 2011 before coming to Major League Soccer. It'll need another one very soon, I believe.
Yeah, and the footprint there, there's more room to grow there than there was at Exhibition Place, because they were like roads that they had to deal with in BMO. So yeah. If they can do it, surely to God, and I know Montrealers like to be compared to Toronto so much. So Toronto could do
lot,
it, surely to God, Montreal can too, right? And look, there's lots of space there. They do need to improve the flows. They need to just do it. This is a business move, and but it should be exciting from a soccer perspective as well, because if you can improve the business aspect of the Impact, then you make it easier to justify the expenditure that you need to do to compete on the soccer side of things. So I do think it is a good day for the Impact, and it is the right move at this particular time. And if I want to include the third Canadian team in Major League Soccer, and I do love that I have to say in Major League Soccer now into that. But
yeah, because there's a lot more clubs in the country.
Yes, if I want to include the third team in there, perhaps a figurehead of that club might want to take note of what Joey's doing here as well.
Bobby, step away from your franchise and let someone else run it. But no, just to touch back on the Impact as well on this move, Kevin Gilmore, the new president of the Montreal Impact, by the way, taking over for Joey Saputo, mentioned that Rémi Garde and his staff are responsible for everything soccer-related. And just to hear him say that, mixed with the fact that we kind of are able to read between the lines in a relationship between Rémi Garde and Joey Saputo, not that it was difficult, not that it was arduous, but it was silent. Let's just put it this way. Now we kind of know that Rémy Garn has not necessarily carte blanche, but he has the trust, the confidence, and literally the reins of this soccer club, the soccer aspect. The business aspect are to the new president. He's going to surround himself with probably a VP of marketing. I could put money on that aspect. But he's going to have a VP of marketing, a VP of business very soon working under him, which it wasn't the case before today. But the soccer aspect, I believe it's going to be good for the soccer aspect, because now Rémy Garn does not have to look behind him and make sure that his decisions are not looked upon in a different way, and maybe not judged on every decision, but judged on the outcome of a decision, which is what you want to do with your soccer staff. You don't judge them for making or not making a signing. You judge them when that signing pans out or not. And I think that's important for the club. It gives Rémy Garn a bit more leeway, I believe.
Yeah, the only time that Joey should be involved, or the business side should be involved in a signing in any Major League Soccer club, so like, let's put the Impact experience aside, is if it is the owner has to kick their own money in. So that would be a major DP signing. And obviously, if you're throwing your own money in, you deserve some input there.
Yeah. Well, and the input that you deserve is not what is. Do you think this is good for the club going forward? This is the president's decision. It's do you agree by spending this amount of money? Sign on the dotted line, yes or no? Do you agree? No? Okay. Or exactly. Yeah. We will know.
Yeah.
Or maybe when you're going to high school, you know, or elementary school, and you ask a girl if she wants to go out with you, you write a little note, yes, and then you have a little square that says no, and maybe you have a little square that says maybe. We'll see. It was my case.
It's quite worth that. Yeah. We'll circle back to it.
Yeah. Like, okay, maybe I'll go out with you. Good. Yeah. She didn't say no. There's still a chance.
Samsonite. You're saying there's a chance. Exactly.
Mary Samsonite. That's a throwback to Dumb and Dumber, if you don't know. But yeah, no, I believe it's a very happy day for the Montreal Impact, for the Montreal Impact fans. And going forward, this club wants to act like a big market.
Yeah, and as it should. You know, and so many other business things. Like, there will be a Canadian Premier League team in the area too. So having, you know, that ability to position yourself as unquestioned, like they already were unquestionably the biggest club in the market, but getting out there and getting those sponsorships and getting going to increase your business base is going to be vital. And you cannot underestimate the amount of connections that Mr. Gilmore has in the province of Quebec. So it is
North America. I would go as far in saying it's not just the province of Quebec, though, because of his experience north of the border, south of the border in the United States, his experience with the Montreal Canadiens, his experience on board of directors of very different but important sports entities like the Olympics Committee in Canada, like the CWHL and others. I think all those experience makes him uniquely qualified to assess the level of this club right now, to assess what it needs to be at the higher level, and to make sure that transition is done in the right way too. So no, even though before yesterday I couldn't tell you who Kevin Gilmore was because he's more working behind the scenes and all, I believe he's the perfect man for the job now. Not because of what he said today, but because of his resume over the last 30 years.
And just as a segue into something else here, I think we both agree that this is a good move for the Impact. He does have that female hockey experience too. So I did have a few of my followers wonder whether this might mean that the Impact are more likely to start some kind of women's programming forward. I don't know about that. I don't think anyone would know at this point. But
I would say no right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, so, and that does segue to the fact that we will be talking about the Canadian Women's National Team and the U.S. Women's National Team tomorrow on a very female-focused show. The Canadian women play in 33 minutes' time from the time of the recording here. It's at 11:27 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I can't read time zones. I thought it was at 9 a.m. our time, but that would have been quite early over there, so I was wrong there.
I think it's 9 a.m. Pacific. So.
Yes, that's what it was. So there you go. Yeah, before we say goodbye today, we have talked a lot about Davies Mania. He of course did not play. Have you ever seen more hype for a bench player in your life than you did last Friday? I just had like a full 10-minute segment on Tim and Sid. It was a nationally broadcast game, and he didn't.
Hey, Bayern itself is doing that hype. Like literally making. They didn't make this video for any other player, but. look who's in the squad today. Hashtag 19, Davies debut, hashtag, and then the picture of his jersey in a loop, you know. I've seen more hype, but not in soccer. What you gonna do, brother, when a Davies mania run wild's on you? Well, the Davies mania is running wild in North America, I guess, and in Germany.
Yeah, look, I think there's a couple things going on there. I've been absorbing a lot of Byron media, and they're pretty reasonable about what they expect, like the independent media from Munich. They are excited to see what he can bring, but they also don't expect him to feature a lot this year, like cup games and the occasional run off the bench, and that's probably fair. But I do think that what is happening from the Bayern Munich perspective is, if you look at some of the other their transfer rumblings, they're all young wingers that they're trying to bring in, and they are trying to play up the movement away from Ribery and from Robin, Ribery, which are both leaving at the end of the season. So,
and Rodriguez might not come back. And no, exactly. But, you know, knowing Davies and knowing how he reacts to opportunity, you know, it's all well and good not to expect him to play a lot. But what are they going to do? What you going to do, brother, when the Davies mania scores two goals on his debut and then you're forced to play him? Oh, yeah.
I think Canadian soccer Twitter would literally die. They would just be
like, did he just score a brace? Did he just like, I would not be surprised knowing the fire that runs through this kid's vein, knowing the energy and the happiness and the joy. All right. You know what sparks joy for me? I'm going to marry Kondo the shit out of this right now. You know, Davies scoring for Bayern Munich sparks joy for me. Yeah, that's it.
There you go. All right. Very timely reference there, too, as well. last thought on that, and then we'll probably wrap so I can get set up to watch the Canadian women play, and you can follow my Twitter feed for a little bit of insight in that as they go along. And as I said, we'll cover that tomorrow as well. I remember seeing him just sitting on that bench in that environment. And look, I'm as big a supporter of Major League Soccer as you'll find, obviously, a biggest supporter of Canadian soccer as you'll find, but it was just another level, and it was so surreal to watch a Canadian player play in that environment. And it, you know, it was the closest a Canadian has come to the very top of this sport since at least 2009-ish.
And this time he's really Canadian.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, Owen Hargreaves would have been the last one, and he, you know, he did benefit. Like, look, I did not like Owen at the time, and I'm still never going to celebrate him as much as some people like Gallagher.
At that time,
I can recognize from an intellectual level that he had a benefit to Canadian soccer on the whole. At this point in my life, I still don't like his decision.
No, exactly.
What it comes down to.
You know what? Another player, like, I love his dad. Like, I literally love his dad. Talked to him a few times in the last couple of months. And amazing guy, Alex. But Teal, I still feel that way. But Alex, love you to death. But no, it's the same feeling.
Well, Teal made a personal mistake by that decision. It was the little kid that sees the giant piece of cake on the table, and he jumps at that cake and then realizes that he's not getting his nutritional balance 4 weeks later, right?
Realizing that you're not getting an actual piece, you're just licking the crumbs off the backboard of the cake.
Yeah, that's what he saw when there was a cake, and beside that cake there was a nice omelet, to go back to Cora's here, a Cora's Theo omelet.
Ew, that's a vegetarian omelet. Jeez, who eats that stuff? Cauliflowers and broccoli in your omelet at like 9 a.m. in the morning with carrots?
That's good. You put a little ketchup on that there. You get your sugar in there, too.
Ketchup's not keto, though, so I can't have ketchup.
There you go. No, it's that he chose the cake over the omelet, but then he, you know, had that sugar rush for a week or so, and then he was kind of hungry and the omelet was gone.
They just gave him a taste and never again. But no. Again, it'll be fun. But we'll be back tomorrow to talk about women's soccer. U.S. Women's National Team plays today. The Canadian Women's National Team plays today. We'll keep an eye on both those games, and we'll talk about it tomorrow as well. Never a dull moment covering the Montreal Impact, for sure, covering soccer in North America. We wanted to talk about like the Premier League and Bundesliga, but of course, our bread and butter takes precedent. And there's news. That's why we have a daily show, because you never know what to expect. When we finished the show yesterday, we had a plan for today's show, and then news happens. And you got today's show. But I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know and let Dwayne know what you think about the Montreal Impact's decision to get a new president. You can comment on the comments below here on social media. Just reply to this post or on YouTube or on our website. Just leave a comment. What do you think about the hiring of Kevin Gilmore for the new presidency of the Montreal Impact? We'll be back tomorrow. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame, and until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.